Welcome again to our second week in our Running with the Giants series, but I also want to take this time and wish all the ladies a very happy Mother's Day. Come on, everybody, let's give all the ladies a hand. Come on, yeah. Come on, mamas, stepmamas, grandmamas, aunts. I mean, we just spiritual moms, we just love you. Ladies, we would not be here without you. So we thank God for you. We love you. We appreciate you. We're praying you have an amazing day today. And I think this is a great start to your day, all right? So if you would, go ahead, grab your message notes. They're inside your worship guide. If you're here with us for the first time, you can follow along with our message that way or on the screens behind me. And we are in this series, our second week of our Running with the Giants. And very pumped about this because we're all in this race called life. And we're in this journey. And I think the great thing, the cool thing is knowing that we are not alone in the journey, that there are many who have run this race before us, which is what we are looking at, a lot of the patriarchs and the matriarchs of Scripture. And we're looking at their story and how it can help us and minister life right back to us. And we've been taking it out of Hebrews chapter 12 and understanding that we are really surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. This 11th chapter talks about the Hall of Famers. So really, in this series, that's what we're doing is we're learning from the Hall of Famers of faith. And man, if they could step out and run one lap with us around the track, maybe what would be some things that they would encourage us to do. And so that's really what we're looking at here this morning. And I want to start off here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And if you missed last week, I would encourage you, you can check it out. We talked on the life of Joseph and encouraging people to continue to dream again. And everybody say, dream on. Dream on. Yeah, dream on. That's a good song too. Dream on. But I won't sing it for you this morning. But nonetheless, I want to encourage if you missed it to make sure you check out that message from last week. But I want all of you to help me read this verse of scripture with me this morning. Here we go. Everybody help me out. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So this morning, I think it's very fitting that we talk on the life of Esther and an incredible woman of God that just was appointed in such a really just remarkable time in her life, in her journey. I've learned that anytime God appoints you to something, he anoints you for it. And that's exactly what we find in Esther's life, that God appointed her, and we're going to see just how his anointing and God's power carried her through in just a remarkable time, even in history. But I think one of the first things that I want to ask you to just jot this down that I think Esther would encourage you with today is for when you are uncertain about your purpose, that God has a place for you. God has a place for every one of us in this room today. He's got a design for your life. Look at the person next to you and say, God has a place for you. Look back at him, square in their eyeball, say, no, he really does. Yeah, he really, really does. He's got a place for every one of us. So I want to pick up the story here in Esther chapter 2. Beginning in verse 5. Here we go. It says, now there was a Jew who lived in the palace complex in Susa. His name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. I mean, try to say all those names five times fast. Lord have mercy. Don't name your kids that either. His ancestors had been taken from Jerusalem with the exiles and carried off with King Jehoiachin of Judah by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon into exile. All right, so everybody's in a time where they are in exile. Mordecai had reared his cousin Hadassah, otherwise known as Esther, since she had no father or mother. The girl had a good figure and a beautiful face, and after her parents died, Mordecai had adopted her. Esther was in a place where she's very young in age, living with her cousin. Her parents had died, obviously, at a very young age, and she was adopted. And she really was in a place that I think that you and I can really identify with, because she just didn't feel real certain about where she was at and in the journey and where she was going. And she had a place that she was in, a strange country, that she was in such a different culture that it was really hard for her to adjust and experience this life. And so she had the feelings of she just really never felt like she quite ever fit in. And I don't know, maybe you've felt that way. Have you ever felt like where you are is not really where you're supposed to be? Like maybe you feel it on the job. Maybe you feel it in the home sometimes. Maybe you feel it with your neighbors. You know, I don't know. Maybe you find yourself in a place where you're frustrated. You're wanting to pull your hair out because you're not sure that where you are is where you are supposed to be. And I think a lot of times what tends to happen is people will spend their life feeling dislocated. People will spend their life feeling like, man, things just aren't clicking. And I'm just here to let you know, God has a place for you. He has a design for your life. He's got purpose for your life. I remember those feelings several years ago, especially when I was really young in ministry and I was working, and I started working at an airport, international airport in Columbus, Ohio. And I just kind of worked my way up and did some retail for a little bit, and then worked my way kind of out of that field to do some other things. And so within that airport, but I was always frustrated. And as I worked myself up in management, all those things, it was great, but I always just didn't feel fulfilled. I just thought, man, Lord, I know what you've called me to do. And I think that's a frustrating thing sometimes, is when you know what God has called you to do, but you ain't doing it. And that can seem a little frustrating. Can I have any help in here? Anybody ought to know what I'm talking about? Am I just saying, preaching myself, all right? So, that's where I was, and I'm like, man. And I remember some of my buds in ministry, and I was always the youngest amongst some of my circle of friends in that time. I was always like 5 or 8 years younger than everybody. So I felt out of place. I was always hanging with the older folks and the older couples and everything, and I just never felt like I fit. And it was a struggle. And then when I'd be at work, some of my buds that were doing ministry and beginning to live the dream, I mean, they're flying and preaching at different places or doing stuff. And I'm like, you make me mad, man. You make me sick. You know, I just was agitated. I'm like, God, why isn't that me, you know? And that's the very reason why it wasn't time for me, because my attitude stunk, you know? And so I had to realize and understand that in that time and in that season, God was more concerned with my character. And so he really worked on me a lot, and he still is. So I need all the help I can get, amen? And so, you know, but I found myself in that place that I really had to learn to not just be teachable, because we need to be teachable, but I think the key thing is be applicable. So you can learn things all day long, but the key is, how many know, is applying that which you've learned into your life. Come on, amen? And so that's really where I found myself at, and I think we've all had those moments that we have felt maybe out of place, or maybe we felt like we were overlooked. And I think this is an incredible message for your life today. I know what it's like to be overlooked. I was one of the shortest on every team I played on, all right? Still am today. Lord help me, you know? And so, but those times I think we all can identify with. And I've just got a huge heart for those maybe even here this morning that are seem to find yourself in a place of even maybe transition. Maybe you're in a season of change, a season of transition, and maybe you're not quite sure what things are going to look like, but I just want to encourage you to know that God's got everything worked out. I love a portion of scripture. If you check it out in your Bibles when you get some time, out of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I love that chapter, talking about the times and the seasons for everything. But there's a verse of scripture within that a lot of people miss, and they just kind of go over, and I believe it's either verse 11 or verse 14, that talks about that where you are, God has already been. Meaning this, that whatever season you find yourself in today, the provision has already been made for that. You just got to rely on God, and you got to have faith, and you got to be able to trust him. And we're going to look at more of that in just a moment. You know, it's Mother's Day, and I was thinking so much about my own mom today. And you know, my mom made some very strong faith moves early in the game, and especially with me and her. She was a single mom for a while with me, and I watched her make decisions. I watched her make a move that was comfortable from where we were living in Kokomo, Indiana at the time, to Columbus, Ohio. It was comfortable for her, but it wasn't where God had her to be. And I remember us making that move with no guarantees, but just watching God honor her faith. And it stirred me. It taught me a lot. And so this message is dedicated to those who feel like you've been left out, that feel like you're struggling to find that place. Psalm 33:11, I want to encourage you with this scripture as we begin. The plans of the Lord stand firm forever. Everybody say forever. Forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations. There is no generation, nor will there ever be, that God is not working out his purposes through. And the truth is, God is wanting you and I to step up to the plate, to embrace the call and the journey and whatever that looks like for your life and whatever he's called you to do, and run with it. run with it and be faithful with it and steward it well. So I want to be very practical in giving you a few things here this morning as we take this story out of Esther on helping you to find your place. Number one, if you're following along, you jot this down, that finding your place requires great faith and trust. Because guess what? There will always be times of uncertainty. There will be a lot of times in your life that you won't have the answer. You won't know the answer. And your reliance on God is gonna prove to be everything. And that's where you've got to stay. The safest place for your life to be is right in the middle of the will of God. It's doing what he has placed within you to do. Verse 17 of chapter 2 says this: "Now the king was attracted to Esther more than to any of the other women, and she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. And so he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti." Now, the thing about Vashti, Vashti was already queen. Like, girlfriend had it going on if she would just listen. Like, girl just wanted to do her thing, disobey the king, and out she went. And that's the story of Vashti. You don't hear nothing more ever. And that's a sad story. So what happens is the king holds basically a beauty contest is what it was. And Esther wins this. Esther wins this beauty contest, and she's chosen as king. And was that her purpose? No. What it was a setup that God was going to use her, even though she didn't know it at first, to do some amazing, incredible things on his behalf. And I just believe this, that no place is out of place when you're in God's place. I'm going to say that one more time because I think we need to understand when we're in the middle of the will of God or whatever season that we find ourselves in, we need to understand as long as God is with us, no place is out of place when we're in God's place. And so faith is believing that God is working in your current situation. And the trust element, what that looks like is this: it's trusting that whatever God said he would do, he will do. And that his word will not return back to us void, but it's going to accomplish what he pleases. And so it's trusting in his word. And as I was praying this week and just looking over this message and knowing it's Mother's Day, there's a couple scriptures, I'm just telling you this week, just kind of rocked me in my spirit a little bit. And I just wanted to share a couple of these that are not in your notes that you can just find some margin on your notes and jot these down. But one of them is Jeremiah 17. 7 and 8. I love this, and I think it gives you, I hope it gives you a lot of hope. It says, "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have," look at this, "made the Lord their hope and confidence." Blessed are those who, what? Trust in the Lord, have made the Lord their hope and confidence. Now, imagine, this is where you got to get creative in scripture and kind of see this as God is seeing this. It says this, goes on to say, "Those that trust in God, they are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought." Look at this. Here we go. "Their leaves stay green and they," what? "Never stop producing fruit." Never. That means that no matter what hits your life, no matter circumstance, storm, weather, good or bad, that you could be in a place, and you can achieve this in Jesus' name, that you never stop producing fruit. Come on, how many want that to be a part of your life and a part of your prayer? That's saying, God, I never want to be in a place where I'm not producing fruit. And so we have to understand that blessed are those who do what? Trust in the Lord. That don't lean on their own understanding. Another scripture says in Proverbs. But we understand and we delight in what God is saying. And as I was looking over that this week, the elements of life can hit us. But they can come and hit us. But we remember from last week's message, it's more about what God's wanting to do what in us. And that we learn that no matter the elements that come our way, that we will not be moved. And that whatever season of life that we face, we can be in a place where we're always producing fruit. And I'm telling you, these last couple weeks, it's been my prayer, is to save you mileage, is to save you some time from spinning your wheels and having to relearn the same season over and over again. The key, and I talked about this last week, is learning. You can learn fast. It's all about your heart and your position and being teachable in what God is saying and being applicable. And I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in repeating the same thing over and over again. I ain't got that much time in life. Come on, somebody. like, I don't know how much time is left, so I ain't gonna waste my energy on things that don't matter. Preaching real good, Pastor. Yeah. Don't stress yourself out with things that don't matter, that aren't a big deal. I mean, you're gonna kill yourself. Some of y'all, we just need to relax and move on, baby. It just that ain't, it's just, listen, just not that important at work. Just let God do his thing. Come on, it's not that important to let the stuff and the chaos breed in your family. Just let there be peace and work it out in Jesus' name. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. We got people to win for Jesus. We got people that are headed to a Christless eternity, so we ain't got time for that. I mean, the person say, we just ain't got time. I just ain't got time. Oh, I ain't got time. All right, Psalm 31 says, but I trust in you, Lord. I say you are my God, and what? My times, or my future, another version says, are in your hands. Trusting God, here's what it is. It's saying, I release control of my life so that you can be in control. That's what trust says. Saying, God, it's not mine. This is yours. Number two, finding your place requires great courage. I love that word, courage. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is what you do in spite of the fear. It's not being afraid to step on the edge and going over the edge because you understand when you're doing things God's way, his way, that he's going to catch you. Courage is not getting stuck at where you're at, but it's staying focused on where you're headed. And that's exactly what Esther did in her life. She was in a place that she was figuring out as she was growing and maturing in the things of God that there was more to being this queen than just looking good. No, she was going to have to roll up her sleeves and get in the trenches and do some work. Come on, all the ladies said a good amen. Yeah, and so here we are in this story where this guy, one of the chief officials of the king, Haman, just had a plot, a wicked one at that, to take and drive out all of the Jews, to kill them. So he goes to the king, and he asks that the king does this, and he tricks him. He manipulates the king to pass a law that on a certain day that anyone could kill all of the Jewish people. And this, listen to me, simply happened because of a grudge and an issue in his heart with Mordecai. Think about that. That's a whole nother message. All right. And Mordecai then comes to Esther, places a huge request on her shoulder. He said, man, if something's not done, innocent people will die. We need you to step up to the plate. And he responds to Esther and says this in verse 13 and 14 of chapter 4. Don't think that because you are in the king's house that you alone of all the Jews will escape. He's saying, hey, just because you're here doesn't mean you ain't going to be one of them. He says, goes on to say, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. He's saying, if you remain silent, okay, you may not be able to see the deliverance that will happen because God will raise up somebody to save his people. He always does. And he goes on to say, but you and your father's family will also perish. And then here we go. He says, but who knows whether you have come to royal position for such a time as this. Esther now beginning to realize, wow, my purpose is not just to look good. My purpose, guess what, is to make a difference in the lives of others. That I'm here. I'm here for more than just this. And purpose, I've found even in the journey, will always have intersections of your life that will require decisions and courage that you will have to move with God with. You're just going to find those times as you're journeying out the destiny and the purpose that God has for you. I was thinking of a few years ago, Ashton, it was about 2 years ago, we were swimming. Come on, anybody love the pool out there? Come on, summertime's on the way. Come on, how many dreaming about the pool? Anybody dream about any pool? Like six of you? Okay, there's some more. Good. How about hot tubs? Anybody like hot tubs out there? First service, like the whole church loved the hot tub. So nobody liked the pool. So, but my example is the pool, so just swim with me. All right, here we go. See what I did there. All right, anyway. So here we are. We're at the pool. And I, of course, I do a good cannonball, you know. Don't make fun of me. All right, don't judge me. Here we go. I do a good cantaloupe, you know, just one of these, you know what I mean? I don't even know if that's what it looks like, but that's how I roll. So That's my cantaloupe, and don't make fun of it, all right? So I love just the pool. Love pool time. Just enjoy the pool. I'm like a fish, man. I just swim in it all day. I just enjoy it. And so Ashton was playing in it, and you know, she was rocking, you know, her floaties, man. What do you call them, swimmies? Is that what you call them, floaties? Yeah. And a water weight, whatever you want to call them. You know, that's, you know, she's rocking them on the arms. And I said, baby, you need to jump in. Like, daddy, I'll jump with you if you want. And so she's looked at me. She says, no. And so I kept telling her. So I got in the water. I said, just jump. She said, but what if I don't come up? I said, you're going to come up. I was like, you're rocking the swimmies. That's what they're for. And daddy's got you. You're cool. And so finally she said, okay. You know, she clenched her little fist and she said, all right. And so she got the edge. And then she looked at me and she said, daddy, count me down. So I said, okay, 3, 2, 1, and then jump, you know. And I let her go under that water just for a split second, and then I caught her, and she comes up. She rears her head back, eyes huge, smile. She said, ooh, I want to do that again, you know. And I was like, see, I told you. And here's my point. Don't let fear keep you from jumping into that which God has called you to do. I'm telling you, when you jump into whatever God has for you, it's fun. That's why serving Jesus is an adventure. It's not boring. It's not weird. People are boring and weird, all right? But God is not, all right? That when you jump into the plan of God, it's on an adventure. It's like going to Cedar Point, baby. You got all kinds of rides that you can ride, and it's a life, and it's a journey, and serving Jesus is fun. Amen, everybody? I love it. I love it. And so don't let fear keep you back. Isaiah 41:10, God says, fear not, for I am with you. Have the courage to jump and understand that God will catch you. Say, Kyle, but man, what if I jump and I miss it? Like, what if I miss the time of God? Can I tell you? He's still going to catch you. His grace will still sustain you and keep you. And then usually I ask people that have asked me that in the past, I said, but here's the bigger question. What if you don't ever jump? Like, what if you don't do it and you spend the rest of your life wondering what could have been? I don't know about you, but because Scripture says life is but a vapor, it's here and it's gone, I don't have time to waste. We don't have time to waste. And I want all that God has for me. So don't allow comfortability and what's comfortable and what's easy to override faith and trust. When you move with God, God moves with you. Number three, finding your place requires great focus on God. Here we go. Here's the key. Is you got to get your eyes off you and on Him. Listen, I know that's hard. Trust me. I get that. I'm preaching to the choir. I get all that. Trust me. But if there's anything that God is trying to do is to get you and I to stay focused on Him. Stay focused. It's not about you. No. Won't ever be about you. Just telling you, we've been put on this planet to make a difference and serve people. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. So our life, guess what? God has asked us and wants us to model a life of serving. So yeah, I just didn't like that worship song. I don't care. I mean, love you. God bless you. You know what I'm saying? It's just not about you. Pastor, you preach okay this week. Well, then come back next week and get over it. You know what I mean? Like, just, it's not about you. All right, so we just got to realize, and I think if there's anything that I feel like I've consistently preached in this church, it's that we are a church that exists for others. That we are not here for us, that we understand that our primary focus, we're going to take care of the people that God sends us, absolutely. We're going to counsel, we're going to pastor, we're going to love. But guess what? We remember that our primary focus is for those that are out there, those that are not yet here, that we are making room for them to come and to know Jesus. It's a church that exists for the unchurched. It's a church that exists for the spiritually restless people. I think Fort Wayne's got a lot of restless people in our city, people that may have been wounded and hurt at some point in the journey, maybe had a relationship with God at one point, and for whatever reason, they've drifted. That's why we exist. It's for all of them. Amen, everybody? Amen. Esther 4, 15 and 16. Esther sent this reply back to Mordecai. She said, all right. She says, I want you to go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa, and I want you to fast for me. Don't do life alone. Great picture right there. Small groups in action. Like, she's crying out to her small group. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. I love that instead of turning away from God, she turned towards God. And that's where you've got to find yourself in everything, that you are always not turning from him. She could have turned from him and turned away from the cry in that moment, in that hour, but instead she turned towards God. And then she cried out to a small group and said, man, I need y'all to believe with me. I need you to pray for me. Because we all find ourselves in seasons that, guess what, you don't want to do life alone. And I think the important thing that I'm in this last 2 weeks, I'm trying to get us to understand, is just really just even, this is just a life principle, that whenever something is happening to you, you got to remember God is always trying to do something in you. So I've just kind of come to that resolution in my life that whenever anything comes at me, it doesn't matter what it is, that it's always an opportunity. Am I perfect in it? No, but I feel like I'm growing in it. That I realize God's trying to teach me something. And that's what we have to stay focused on. That's the big picture. Because I want everything God has for my life. How many of you say that, man, I want everything that God has for my life? And we've got to stay in those moments of being teachable and pliable and understanding whenever something is happening, whatever's happening to you, God wants to do something in you. And so this next verse, Jeremiah 33:3, has been really just kind of been a life verse for me in tough seasons. God says, call to me and I will answer you. I'm just going to pause right there. God is waiting for some of us just to call upon his name. And he's there. I want you to know he's here today and he loves you. You're not here by accident. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He's inviting us. He's saying, call to me and I will answer you. Then I love the next part. He said, then I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Man, I desire that. I desire to seek God and be in such a place that he shows me things that I don't know. Come on, how many got that kind of hunger and desire for more of God? Yeah, that just has that desperation. And yes, there are moments and times I'm like, I'm not hearing God as clear, I don't hear him every single day of the week like some people do. I just don't. God speaks to me from time to time, all right? And trust me, I journal those moments out, but I learned to follow his way, follow his word, and trust and allow my faith to be built and to be built with other people as well. And sometimes, yes, I wish God would make it more clear. Like, I wish he would draw me a painting or something. Like, get me some stick men and a sunshine and some clouds and let me see how this is going to go. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, you just want it plain, Lord. Like, help me. Come on. But I'm convinced that it doesn't happen like that because God desires for us to seek him out. And I love that word seek because one of the meanings of that word seek is to crave or to desire more of him. And he's wanting to build more of your faith and trust in him. Number four, finding your place requires great initiative. There's moments that you're going to have that you got to take a leap. You got to trust God. Got to jump in the pool, all right, and understand that no matter what, God's going to catch you. And here's Esther. She says, verse 16, I will go to the king, even though it's against the law. And if I perish, I perish. If you go on to read the rest of the chapters in Esther, you'll know that it ended well, that God used her. She found favor in the king's sight and saved the Jewish people. And That man Haman, by the way, that was getting a little cray-cray, getting a little ridiculous, you know, and he died a gruesome death. And, you know, and God elevated Mordecai. Just amazing. But, I remember some years ago, before we moved to Fort Wayne, when Bethany and I, when we were still living in Columbus, and we were just dreaming about what God could do and dreaming big for Jesus and dreaming about one day planting a church. And I remember we laid in bed one night And I just said, babe, I just want you to know. I said, I don't know what'll happen. I said, when we move, I don't know if this church plant will succeed or if it will fail. It's a very real conversation we had one night. Right before we went to sleep, I remember it like it was yesterday. I said, I don't know if we'll ever break 50 people. Don't know if we'll ever see 100 people come to Jesus. I don't know. I don't know if we can ever break attendance records or whatever. 200. My focus just was on winning people to Jesus. I said, so I don't know what any of that looks like. I said, but we're going to try. And I said, you know what? If we go and succeed, all the glory, all the credit is going to go to Jesus. And if we fail, guess what, babe? We failed trying. So I'd rather look back at my life, not in regret, but looking back at saying, you know what? At least we tried. And I felt like that was a lot what Esther was looking at. She said, I may die. I'm just letting y'all know. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to trust God. And man, God brought favor and promotion. I love what Winston Churchill said. He said, in every age, there comes a time when a leader must come forward to meet the needs of the hour. Therefore, there is no potential leader who does not have an opportunity to make a positive difference in society. Tragically, there are times when a leader does not rise to the hour. Winston was, he's saying it's a tragedy when we don't take the initiative and jump into what God wants for our life. God not only has a place for you, but he has a time for us. We must be faithful to his call. And I think a thing that I learned early, my pastor helped me with, just this simple, really phrase, I guess you could say it that way, that faithfulness always has a future. Faithfulness always gets rewarded. And to stay faithful to Jesus, stay faithful. And I'm telling you, God sees it, and he will bless you. And I've learned that whatever it is that God has for us and he wants to do, it cannot be accomplished without him. And it can't be accomplished without the local church, because the local church is the plan of God to reach the whole world. And when he puts a church together like this, guess what he's doing? He's putting families together. He said, my church is a big family. And God is wanting us to do this life together. You know, I think about taking the initiative. I remember after I dropped out of my sophomore year and I had a great guy in my life who ended up being a tutor for me to helping me get my good enough degree, my GED. And helped me in that, man. Yeah, he was a blessing. Don't hate on my GED now. Come on, man. And so I was in that season, and he was a great tutor. And I remember when I achieved that, man, I took the initiative, scared to death, and I passed it and got that. And then the next kind of thing came to me. I really felt like the Holy Spirit wanted me to go to college. And I mean, I was freaking out. I'm like, God, I didn't even finish high school. And talk about taking an initiative. And so I did. And I went to college and did that. But I think about taking an initiative. I think about, what if I never asked Bethany to marry me? What if I never asked, more importantly, her daddy for approval that day? Whew. Yeah, I remember it like it was yesterday. I was fearful, man. I thought that could be the last day I see anybody, you know. And so I was scared out of my mind. And then he did say yes, so he blessed it, you know, which was good. But taking the initiative. Come on, write this down. If I think these are some of the things Esther would encourage you and I with today, that when you don't understand, stay steady and be ready. You stay ready, you stay available, and you be ready when God says to go. I think we need to understand what I think I would just call it this, that in life, in the journey, that you will have times of certain uncertainty, times that you just don't know, and it's okay. You don't have to have all the answers. Actually, I don't like being around people that's got all the answers. Oh, man, I got an answer for everything. Really? Seriously? You know what I'm saying? So I just got to trust in Jesus, man, you know, just to take that next step, because he has all the answers. Amen, everybody? Stay steady. Stay steady. Now, here's something I want to teach you. I think this needs to be a 101, like, moment of your life that you need to remember. I think, here's what I believe. This is something I learned a few years ago. I think this could help you as a husband, as a wife, as a mom, as a dad. It could help you just with coworkers and family. I think it can help you become a better leader. I feel like it's helped me become a better pastor. It's to remember this, what I'm getting ready to say. You need to really write this down. You need to just think about this, that choices lead, feelings follow. Choices lead, feelings follow. Your feelings and your emotions can get you in so much trouble and unwanted chaos. I'm just trying to save y'all from some mileage. I'm trying to save you from time that you'd be spinning your wheels. Choices lead, feelings follow. That when you make right choices and decisions as God would have you to make, it's going to go smoother. Then let the feelings follow and work that out with Jesus. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know, some of y'all shaking your head. I know what you're talking about, Pastor. Yeah, you let, because you don't want to be led by your soul. We talked about this. I preached on this a few weeks ago. You don't want to be led by the cravings of your body and the soulish emotional decisions that come out. You don't want to do that, because it creates chaos in your life and chaos for those you love. And so you got to be careful to know that choices lead, feelings follow. Everybody say it with me. Choices lead, feelings follow. One of the things that I admire so much as I'm thinking about this day too is Bethany's back there helping with the kids right now. But I want to honor my wife. I think she's an amazing mom. I think she's an amazing wife. I'm the man I am because of my wonderful wife. Yeah, I appreciate that. So I love her and I honor her. She's amazing, great example of Jesus, and I love her. I think about some of the other great women in my life, and there's so many that have impacted me. My grandparents and one of my grandparents, my great-grandma, who lived actually in Fort Wayne. And I believe I'm here today because of prayers that she prayed 50, 60 years ago. I believe I'm just part, the little part of the result of some of those prayers. I think about my other grandma, my mom's mom, just a warrior in the prayer closet. Oh, my goodness. Just know my grandmama, man, didn't know how to pray. And then my mama certainly knows how to pray, too. I got some great memories of my mom in some very difficult seasons of her life and watching her go through as a single mom, working multiple jobs. And I've got a big heart for all the single moms in here. And I pray that we can really grow and develop a strong ministry for our single moms, because I know what it's like. I know it's hard. And I just want you to know, man, we thank God for you. We honor you. And I remember times that my mama would be praying in her room. I'd come home sometimes from work as a teenager, and I just, little time does she know, and even when I was younger, she was always praying. I just listened to her. And she never knew I was stalking her, you know, outside her door, but I was listening to what she was praying. And man, she was praying for me and my brother and my family, and man, she's crying out, believing for God's will to be done in our life. I think about a season when it was just her and I, and I came home one day, and she's just at the counter, didn't have a dishwasher, and she was just washing dishes. And I walked in, and she really didn't know that I was in. And, man, because she was just caught up with God, and she was just praying in the Spirit and just praying. And in moments like that, that God used to build me, that she taught me how to pray. She taught me how to believe God. She taught me that I can have a consistent life before the Lord. And the key was keep coming back to Jesus. I think we're in a culture that quits too easily, where commitment has become endangered and a lost value. I say this, if it wasn't hard, then everybody would do it. You know. And so some of the things that you're seeing, I'm telling you, stay faithful. God's got you. And I think God is looking for men and women who are going to be sold out for the cause of Christ, that will not waver in the times of temptation, in the times of adversity, but will stay true to that which God has placed in your life to do and what you know is right. Can you say a good man? Amen, everybody. Romans 8:28, we know that in all things, good or bad, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. I love Jesus so much because he's so cool and so awesome and knows how to make the best out of any situation. He really does. So write this down very quickly. When you realize God's purpose for your life, you feel empowered. When you find your purpose, that's why we have the growth track. It's coming up at the 1st of June. If you've not been a part of that, let us help you in this discovery part of your life and discovering your purpose and gifts. But when you discover that purpose, God helps you to accomplish things that are so much bigger than you, supernatural things, because of the giftings and abilities he's placed. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. Philippians 4:13, I can do everything through him who gives me the strength. And lastly, you can jot this down, that when you know God is in control, it's easier to take the next step. Acts 17, great verse, from one man. Verse 26, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history. You were put in this time in history for such a time as this, by the way. All right? He marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him, perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. I just come by to let you know today that God has not forgotten you, that God really does have a place for you. Amen. Would you bow your heads right where you're at today? God, I want to thank you so much for this morning. I thank you, God, for the opportunity that we have to be in this place together and discovering and knowing that, God, you want to do some things with our life. And I pray, Lord, just like Esther, that wherever we find ourselves in, whatever place, whatever season of life, that, God, that we will trust the work. We will have faith to know that you're moving in our current situations, and the trust to know that what you said you will do, you will do. I just want to ask you on this Mother's Day, is God in control of your life? Come on, with every head bowed and all eyes closed all across the room, I want you to think about it. Is God in control of your life? Because having a relationship with Jesus is the ultimate step of purpose. And all over this place, with every head bowed, you say, Kyle, God is not in control. He's not first. If you even hesitated, I want to encourage you today. You need to make a decision for Jesus before you leave this place. He loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. For some of us, we need to invite and allow Jesus to come into our life and begin that journey in a relationship. It's the best thing that could ever happen to you. All over this room with every head bowed and eyes closed, if that's you, in just a second, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand up. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front. We're not going to embarrass anybody. I just want you to be real honest with yourself and God. If God's not first on the list, if you struggle to even know where he's at on the list, then he's not on the list at all. Today, make the decision to make Jesus first in everything. All over this room, if that's you, on the count of three, lift your hand up. One, two, three, all over this place. Hands up, real high, real high. Come on, don't be ashamed. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much, man. Thank you. Thank you, young man. Come on, keep him up. I can't see. Thank you so much, young man. Appreciate it. In the back, thank you. I see your hand. Awesome. Hands all over this place. Thank you, ma'am, right there. Appreciate it so much. Proud of you all. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Awesome, awesome, awesome. People for the very first time. People for the very first time. Come on, saying yes to Jesus. We're going to pray all over this place together. Come on, with every hand lifted that has been here, we're going to agree together with them. We're just going to pray simply this. You can repeat this after me and just mean it in your heart. Jesus, I welcome you into my life today. I make you the Lord of my life. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my past. Today's a new day for me. Jesus, I'm placing you first in my life. I release control so that you can be in control. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for raising from the dead for me. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for loving me. Amen.